Blog Talk Radio.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on. Hold on a second.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible. It'll tell you what to do. Be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap. Yeah. Say, be not weary. In doing well. For in due season, you're going to reap now. Say, uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Good morning. My name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Well, good morning. Welcome once again to our weekly internet broadcast. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you and to encourage you and to challenge you to be all you can be in Christ Jesus. We're for a great time this morning. We're bringing on two guests that's going to share some information to you with you that's dear to their hearts. But before we bring on our guests, we'd just like to say good morning to Beverly Beasley and Chandra Lewis, who's the sponsor of this here program over at Granny's Place. Granny's Place is a non-profit organization that's meeting the needs of our young men and women at risk there. You can go to that website and see what Granny's Place have going on. You can click on to their various links and see what activities they have up for the month of September. They also have a volunteer section. So I would like for you to go to that site and just log on and see what volunteer opportunities are available for you. You know, because as we go through life, we develop some skills that we can share with other people. And what a valuable skill that you may possess that you can share with a young man or young woman. And I also like to say hello to Pastor Richard Terry over at the First Free Will Baptist Church. That's where we host our biweekly computer training class over there, and the class is going great. We have some young men that are learning computer skills. They learn the internal workings of the computer, and they're developing some skills that will last a lifetime. But before we go any further, we'd just like to bring on our guest this morning. He's going to introduce himself to you and tell you about the mission which God had put to his hands. Good morning, Mikey on the net.
Well, God bless you this morning, Deacon Lewis. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad to be able to speak to your listening audience. And I would like to wish them all a blessed day and a blessed day in Christ Jesus. I would kind of like to bring to the table this morning one of the things that's very dear to me, and it's a program that we look at as an outreach program, both for young men and older men, but mostly for the young boys. And it's growing boys into men the right way. And I believe that this is not only something that's near and dear to my heart, but it's near and dear to the young men and to the older men who have kind of slipped through the cracks, if you will. We find that today, in today's society, we don't have programs that really touch on all three parts, where there are some things that the young men won't and the older men wish that they would have done, but they didn't have an opportunity to due to your scheduling, due to all the hustle and bustle of life. And we just simply have to get to the point to where we reach back and touch bases with the things that are dear to people.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1.
And when we get to those points,
for delivery
we have
options,
to
press
reach
four.
Back and
to
say
send
unto,
it back,
to,
press
to the
six.
Young men and
to,
to
cancel
the young boys,
this message, press star.
We're
to
here
send
for
this message now.
We're
press
here to try to take you into some of the things that either your imagination let you down on or your parents were unable to do for you.
To replay
such as
your message,
one
press
of the examples
one.
Is
to delete
simply
and
going
re-record
fishing.
Your message, press 3.
Going fishing,
action,
some of the young brothers
four.
Have simply
to
forgotten
back,
how
press
to
six.
Do it.
To
when to do
this
it,
message,
and when made themselves
star.
Available to it.
To
even
message
things
now,
like flying kites,
or hang up.
Building a kite from the ground up and teaching them the importance of not just the kite,
to
but the aerodynamics
message,
of
press
the kite.
One. To delete
and we reach back and we try to teach them that, you know, hands-on is more important than sitting them down in front of a TV or sitting them down allowing them to play video games. Time is one of the most precious things that God has put in front of us to take and be able to share with one another.
Your message has been sent. Thank you for using T-Mobile voicemail. Goodbye.
We get to the point where we have to enjoy life that God has created for us and give us the things that we're looking for in life. Unfortunately, we have failed to bridge the gap between all three generations, between the young man, the little boy, and the old man, because there are some things that we all long for. And we can have men convocations, and we can have men groups, and we can have all the gatherings that we want. But if we fail to take the liberty and fail to take the message from the four walls that we find ourselves gathered in, then yet and still the youth and the young man has slipped through the cracks because they have failed to let their voice be heard, and we have failed to listen to what they're really saying. But the only way that we can be great fishers, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I'm just going to chime in on that. Man, yeah, that's so true. That's so true. As I do juvenile ministry and I go to the various places, I see our young men they are searching for something. And what they and the thing that they are finding are devastating to their health and their future. And I'm so glad that there's ministries like yours and people like yourself that's willing to invest some time in our young men to grow them up the right way.
And we can come up with all the excuses in the world when it comes down to time. You know, I've got to go to work, or I've got to go across town, and I got to go do this, and I got to go do that. And unfortunately for us, we don't really realize, most men do not realize that 10 minutes of your time can change the lifetime and the direction of a child. 10 minutes.
Yes, it can.
Ask yourself, what can be accomplished in 10 minutes? You can sit down and teach him how to draw. You can sit down, you can teach him how to color a book. You can wrap your arms around him, throw him up in the air, tell him that you love him. You can show him that it doesn't take a lot. And you know what that little kid is really asking for? That's all he's asking for is 10 minutes of your time. And that can be a complete stranger. That can be your son, that can be your nephew, that can be your niece. It does not matter. They just want that 10 minutes of your time dedicated to them. And just ask yourself, did my 10 minutes save that young man's life from going out there dealing drugs? Did that 10 minutes keep him from going down to the liquor store and pulling a gun? Did that 10 minutes keep him from walking out there and doing something that was just totally against the law? Did my 10 minutes go wasted? Or did I take my 10 minutes and I go across town? Did I take my 10 minutes and I forget to give a hug? Or did I forget to give a kind word? Did I take 10 minutes and forget to teach a scripture? Did I take 10 minutes and not take the time to say, hey, I used to do something as a kid. My mom taught me how to do it. We began to memorize the books of the Bible. Or take 10 minutes of your day and say, okay, tomorrow we're going to sit down and we're going to name three scriptures that we have memorized that were important to us. It doesn't matter what's important to me, but if it's important to him, 10 minutes shouldn't be that hard to sacrifice.
That's so true. That's so true. You know, as I mentor several young men, you know, in one of our mentoring sections, I brought in a bag of neckties, and I talked to young men on how to tie a tie. And that is something that even though people don't wear very much tie, there's always a need to know those skills. Those skills will last a lifetime.
But how long did it take you to teach it? How long did it take you to teach it?
About 10 minutes.
There you go. 10 minutes.
After the session was over with, one of the young men came in and he grabbed a bag of neckties and he started practicing himself, you know, because they realized the value of that. They may not, you know, do it on a regular basis, but I remember when someone taught me when I was a young man how to tie that, I found myself going through life. I was tying people ties in high school, at special events, and then in college, and then in special ceremonies. Brothers could tie. Here I am, tying a tie. And it's just a little skill like that. But Mike, I love the way you put that, man, to teach them the little basic skills, man, of how to work on cars and how to interact with people and how to have a relationship. Some
That's
people
it.
Don't know how to have a proper relationship.
Hey, man, I was walking through the mall. I'll give you a great example. I was walking through the mall with my daughter and her best friend. Now, when we were walking as little boys going anywhere, man, we were laughing and giggling and going back and forth and going back and forth. Mind you, they were only at arm's reach, and they had their little cell phones, and they were texting each other back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And you could walk through the mall, and you could drive in your car, and you see everybody text message. The interaction of with the personal side has been lost. And that's the way it is even with us with Christ. We haven't sat down long enough to interact with him so that we can take that knowledge and pass it on. If you think about it, just the necktie alone was beautiful. But that only took a little while. And that's something that little man may be sitting, you may walk up to your next banker, and that same young man that you taught to tie the tie is sitting behind that desk and saying to you, Brother Lewis, do you know when you taught me how to tie that tie? Man, I said I didn't have to wear a T-shirt no more. I didn't have to wear gangbang colors anymore. I could put me a shirt and tie on. I could go to church. I could go to the choir. Man, I made up my mind to be the president of my class. Man, I made up my mind to be the president of this organization. And then all of a sudden I said, you know, I can go a little further than that. Matter of fact, I want to become president of the United States. It's open to us.
That's so true. That's so true. We never realize the little amount of time and effort that we instill with our young men and our young women. It makes a difference, because as I go down to the jail, I see young men are crying out. They're looking for guidance, and what they're getting is not sufficient to meet their needs, because they find themselves getting drawn back into that crazy lifestyle, brother.
And that's right.
The show, being free on the inside, allowing men that have went through some things. None of us is perfect, man. We all have made mistakes along the way. But, you know, after we have been restored, and after we know better, we do better through Christ Jesus. You know, Peter, when you are restored, you just strengthen your brother, and that's a call for all of us. Once we can turn this thing around, and we can reach back and tell our young man, and say, hey, brother, I done been there. Those things don't profit you anything. You know, it's only for a short while, but in long term and in eternity, it profits you nothing. And the young men have a sense of that. They know that. They need somebody to tell them that. They just need to hear it from somebody.
And it's so true. But how many times have we just clammed up? I'll speak in my childhood, in my days, and as I grew older, my father now is beginning to share some things with me I wish that he would have shared with me in my childhood. It would have made a difference. It would have made things clear. For example, if you think about the young man that may be incarcerated right now, he may be incarcerated because he was out there doing drugs, trying to push drugs, thinking that there was no way out. You look at the other young man who said, you know, I took a gun and I went down to the convenience store and I robbed a convenience store and I got $25, and in return for $25, I got 25 years. Now, 25 years are lost behind $25. When we could have taken that same young man and said, hey, tell me some of the things that you want to do. And maybe I don't know, but together we're going to get the proper information. And we'll hand it down to you, and we'll go from there. But instead, you know what we'll do? We'll turn a cold shoulder, and we'll take our 10 minutes, and we'll walk away. And I'm so glad, if you think about it, when Christ, if you don't think that youth was important, if you think about Christ, when he sat down to look at the multitude, the Bible says first he looked at the multitude. And when he seen the multitude, he seen that there was a need. And the multitude was just gathered. And he said unto his disciples to go look for food. And say, when he came back, the message was very simple. He said, I found a young lad, and the young lad had lunch. And Jesus asked for the young lad to bring it to him. And he took those two fish and those five barley loaves, and he multiplied them. And then some people want to go to asking a question on, how is it so? And if you go back and you study a little theology, the theology tells you that even the things that God took and he broke it, and every time he broke it, he continued to multiply. Well, you know as well as I know, fish don't do anything but multiply. And if you take a little wheat from the field and you create a little water and a little yeast and you begin to fix it up, that makes your bread.
Yes.
So the wheat just kept multiplying, and so did the fish. And from that it says that 5,000 men, not including women and children, but 5,000 men were fed. And when I go to the young man, I say, you know, the beauty of learning how to fish is I could either bring you a sandwich or I could take you and teach you how to fish, and you can feed yourself for a lifetime. How much knowledge do you have over the course of your life that you have failed to share? Not because you didn't want to share it, but you didn't have anybody to share it with.
Amen, amen. Mike, we're going to break here for a station break, and we're going to come right back. This is a great conversation, my man. Hold on there for a second.
Good morning. My name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Oh, what a great guest we have this morning. Well, Michael is on the line here, and he's sharing with us the important it is to giving back, the important it is to invest some time in our young men. He's a part of a ministry, one of many things that he is doing that time, growing a young man up the right way. I like that, growing a young man the right way. You know, a lot of times young men, they've been grown, they've been tossed and turned, they've been pulled in different directions, but are they being led in the right direction? That's where we have men of purpose, men that have a higher standard in their life, and men that's willing to take time and invest it in the life of our young men. And as this conversation is going on here, we give you an opportunity to call in and join in on the conversation. That number would be 1-310-982-4126. Again, the number is 1-310-982-4126. Give you an opportunity to join in on the conversation. Now, Mike, as we were discussing a while ago, you know, what do you see based on your experience? One of the needs of our young men, or some of the needs of our young men.
If I can only tell you how great the cry, you know, I understand that we as parents, as members of community, we want to get everyone kind of involved in an academic criteria. Unfortunately, that's not the cry of every child. There can only be one Michael Jordan. There can only be one quarterback. There can only be one football player. And so many people want, man, I'm going to get that great contract. I'm going to get that out of the ghetto attitude. And unfortunately for us, we got to realize that there's a gate of only one for a certain in particular things. And we don't want that to be your focus, because if you fail at that, then what's your results? Where do you go if you don't make that? So what you have to do is you have to let the children kind of lead you first, so you'll have an idea. And young men today, everybody says the same identical thing. I want the bling bling, and I want the big shoes, and I want the jerseys, and nobody is giving them a direction to go get them. So they're looking and listening to the little fella who comes up there and say, man, I work for the dope man, and look at the money that's in my pocket. I will give my best example I could give of that is a young man walked to me at 14 years old. 14 years old, he said, man, I got more money in my pocket right now than you'll ever have during the time that you're going to be working out here working for the man. And he pulled out a wad of money, and I think he roughly showed me about $3,000 at 14 years old. He said, and I keep this money in my pocket every day. And I ask him a simple question. I say, how much money does it take to bury you? And a young man looked at me, puzzled, baffled. He said, well, what are you trying to get at? I say, baby, the road that you're on, a lot of men have already traveled. Some of them have died and not even been found until the city coroner comes along and he finds a dead body, or the police officer comes along and has to identify. How much money does it take to bury you? One of the most powerful ministries that I believe I'd ever seen was this young man. He was out of Fort Worth, Texas. he owned a funeral home, and he used to get in his hearse around midnight, and he would go to the worst sections of the city. And in the worst sections of the city, he would get to the back of the hearse, and he would begin to pull out the coffin and struggle. But he would make sure that he was gathered around where he knew where gangbangers and dope slangers would be. And they would rush over and they would help him. And when he'd get it pulled out, he'd set it up on the grass and he'd say, "I appreciate you." He said, "But now if you don't mind, can I go ahead and measure you?" And the young people would look at him and they were just totally confused. And they'd ask, "Why are you going to measure us?" He said, "Because as a mortician, first thing I have to do is take measurements of you in order to be able to put you off in here. And just as sure as you're doing what you're doing, you're going to meet this thing right here." Wow. And so many youth were changed by from that one action of reality check. And we have to get to the point to where we stop softening the blow and tell them the truth. We're not perfect. We have made some mistakes. But, baby, there's a different way than a drug man. There's a different way. God has given us a lot of things right at our fingertips. As a matter of fact, he goes and tells us, he said, "I will supply your every need according to what? His riches in glory." Now, my question is, if he's already got riches, why don't we ever really ask him for it, and then trust him and believe him strong enough for him to give it to us?
That's what
Brother Paul goes back and asks us, "Where is your faith?" James Cleveland wrote a song so long ago that I remember, but his question was very simple to a Christian talking to a backslider: "Where is your faith in God?"
That's so true. That's so true. Mike, this has been a great conversation, man. This is going to go all and on, but we're winding down. We have another guest coming on. And I pray that you're able to just continue to listen to this program, because you know we're on the internet and we're live there, brother. And you know, this show and all our shows are archived. That means you can go back and listen to them 24/7, and you can share them with your family, friends, and whoever that you want to share it with, okay?
I will do that. This has been a joy. This has been a great joy. And I am tuned in, and I am listening, sir.
Well, God bless you. God bless you. We thank you for being a part of our internet family. And, Mike, I would never leave this program without asking you to come back again and do a follow-up, because your ministry really touched my heart. I mean, to mention that you're involved in this and growing a young man the right way. And there's a great need for that. There's a great need, because if we see our young men are sagging. In part of our ministry is that I did a deal in our ministry program, in our mentoring program, rather. I did why you're not wearing a belt. And I was talking to
all right.
Men, why they not pulling themselves up, because if they're not going to pull their pants up, they're going to be pulled down by the things around them. And I've used the instance of how you can slip and fall on the little bitty things because you're not girded up, just like your shoelaces. Shoelaces don't think much of, but if they're not tied up, they pull you down. And your pants not pulled up, it drags you down. And the young man got to looking. And I know, Mike, as we share these things with people, that you could probably attest to it, sometimes they don't seem to get it at that time. But once they think about it and they reflect on it, then they say, "Hey, wait a minute. You know, maybe old school was up to something." Maybe was up to something, you know.
Now, that is a positive message that, if you don't mind, I'm going to borrow, and I'm going to take it with me in my message.
Well, you go ready.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
And that's what our program is about, man. We bring on guests and people to share their life experience and the ministries that they're involved in to make a difference in our young men. So we done had a great number of people on here, but we thank God for allowing people like yourself to come on here, brother. I'm honored that you would take time out to share your life experience with our listening audience. And guess what, Mike? It makes a difference in someone's life. It makes a difference. Someone's going to hear this, and their life's going to be changed. And we would never, ever see them, but we know that it makes a difference.
I want you to know, this has been a blessing to me just to be able to share moment with a person. And like I said, 10 minutes. 10 minutes could change the life and the direction of a person.
Amen.
10 minutes.
Amen. That is so true. That's so true. We got a 2 minute song here, Mike, before we end this here broadcast. We're going to bring our next guest. So won't you just give us a word of encouragement for someone that wants to be actually involved in the life of a young person. If you have an organization that you can attach them to or just encourage them, you know, to be actually involved in the life of our young people. Because as we drive by, we say, what's wrong with that kid? What's wrong? Maybe that's, you're not involved. Maybe that's what's wrong with them.
And you said it best. I will say to every young man and every young woman that can and that will, if you don't belong to a church, if you're not active in a church organization and you're not active in a community organization, the Big Boys, Big Girls Clubs of America, they're really something and they really reach out and touch people. But I also want to say, go to your local YMCA if you can, if you will. Volunteer to be a coach. Reach out to some of these young people where they are. They will tell you things that you would not believe that is going on in their own home, and they will give much respect for somebody who stands up in the community and makes a difference. Make a difference in a child's life. Take 10 minutes. Don't care if you know them by name or by face, but take 10 minutes. But if you fail to do any of that, tell somebody today that Jesus lives. Tell somebody. Tell anybody. Tell everybody.
Oh, boy, that is so true, my brother. God bless you. It's been a great interview.
Yes, sir.
Mike, as we get ready to end this portion of the show here, man, we want to thank you once again for coming on. And we know God is going to do some great things through you and through your ministry, brother. We want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. It makes a difference.
God bless you. God keep you. God bless the ministry. And thank you again for being a part of my life.
Amen. God bless you. And we'll be talking soon.
I'll be looking forward to it.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you. Take care. You too. Bye-bye.
Hey, man, what a great interview we had there with Mike, though. Hey, man, we're growing a young man the right way. You know, that's powerful, eh? You know, we be thinking about these young people. Well, what's wrong with that child? He had no upbringing. But maybe he needs someone to speak into his life. You know, because sometimes people will listen to us, not being a family member, not being involved in their family life. Now, they listen to someone on the outside. They say, hey, man, you know, you show me more care than mom or dad. And we don't want to show them more care, but we want to show them the care that they can get from mom and dad if they listen to them. Because let's face it, we grew up, and sometimes we think that mom and dad is out of touch with things. We think they're old school. Mom, they don't do things like that. They don't do things like that. But, yeah, we'll go to someone else and ask for advice. But we want them to go to the right person to ask for advice. Mom and dad, they know what's going on. And as the child grow up, they'll look back and say, Mom and Dad, I appreciate what you've done. I knew that y'all done the right thing based on what you knew. But and thank you. But along that life journey, when they leave their house, when they're gone 8 hours a day because of school activities or functions or work or whatever, they meet other people along the way. And those other people have a great impact in their life. I remember when I was growing up and I needed to work on cars, and I met guys living around in our housing unit, and the guys that I worked with, they taught me how to work on a car. And that's a valuable asset to me now. I know how to do the little things to a car. Yeah, and because of someone took time out and grew me up the right way. We thank Mike for ministries like his and for what he's embedded in the life of a young man, like fishing, you know. Someone took time out and carried me fishing, me and some other group of young men fishing, and they're talking to us patience, man. You know, because when you fish, you have to have patience. You bait your hook and you sit back and you wait. But while you wait, you contemplate, you think about your future, you think about your past, you thinking about where you want to be at, and you having a good time, and it gives you an opportunity to just reflect on life. And you look around and you can see God is all over the place. He's in everything, nature, and things of that nature. So give a young man to realize that there's something greater than him that's called. And also giving back. We want to teach our young men to give back. What profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his very soul? Give back, give back. That's what I encourage our young men. Never get so caught up pursuing the things of God that you're not concerned about the people of God. Give back. When you're at the thing that you're pursuing in life, and when you're at your goal, and when you feel like that you've made it to where you want to be, reach back and help somebody. Guess what? Because someone helped you. You didn't get there by yourself. I'm willing to say that safely and with an assurance that you had help along the way. If it wasn't nothing but somebody telling you, boy, get out the street. Boy, you don't talk like that. They help you because they taught you, hey, you need to watch your surroundings. This is dangerous. You need to guard your mouth when you're around certain people than just talking in general. Someone help you. You may not have thought about it, but they did. And now we have our next guest on the line here. We're going to bring them on, and we're going to see what God has going on with them. Good morning. You're on the net.
Yes, this is Rusty Coffee calling in there, Brother Joe.
Well, good morning, Rusty. We've been waiting on you to call in there. I'm excited about you and this interview that we're going to have. Rusty, please introduce yourself to our listening audience and tell us about the ministry that God has put to your hands to do.
Yes, sir. My name is Rusty Coffey. Raised my children and family in Dallas area. Now we live presently out at Cedar Creek Lake, about an hour southeast of Dallas. In 1995, I went on a mission trip to Russia. And we went into a prison in Russia, outside of Moscow, Russia. And God began to call me to the prison ministry, not just in foreign countries, but also here in Texas. And so since that time, I've been volunteering as a volunteer, going into various state prisons around the Dallas Metroplex, as far out as Henderson, Texas, Palestine, Texas, to minister the word of God to incarcerated men and women. And it's been a joy. It's been a blessing for me and my wife. We do it together with the women. Started about 2 years ago. And we've seen lives change by the grace of God. And this is what God's called us to do.
Amen. That is a powerful thing now, Rusty. Now, how did you get involved in this type of ministry? Because I see your ministry reaches on the other side of the world. You're talking about going to Russia in 95, man. That's a great calling.
Yeah, I belong to East West Ministries. I've since left and I now belong to, we've started our own ministry called God at Work, which is a ministry under Dallas Leadership Foundation. But it's just one of those mysterious things that I've never been incarcerated, nor my wife, but we were just led to minister to people in that state and in that situation, and I've been able to do it in Dominican Republic and Russia, as I said, and some other countries, Haiti, where I've gone for a lot of trips to Haiti, and never been able to get into a Cuban prison, but I've tried there two or three times. They just won't let me in. But that's just the audience that God wants me to speak to, is these people who have gotten locked up for whatever reason. They're there, and they're a captive audience. And some of them will listen, and some of them will not. But God has those that he has chosen.
And, you know, Rusty, that's something I encounter. I do jail ministry here in Dallas County. And as we go out, we never know how the word is going to affect the individual person. But we do the best we can. It's up to God. You know, for
exactly.
One plants and one waters, for God gives the
exactly.
increase. And as I go out, I tell the guy, I'm not offended because myself, I was hard-headed. I was rebellious. And people shared the gospel with me, but it didn't take root then. But I know that this word will take root if they allow it to. So keep doing what you're doing.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm going to keep on until God says so. And as I said, I've seen been in it long enough to see other individuals who have been incarcerated who are now coming out and being very productive, not only in ministries themselves, but just in their society, in their neighborhood, their churches and families. And so there's encouragement enough there that what we're doing is long-lasting and everlasting, and of course, the greatest thing about the gospel is that it removes all our sin as far as the east is from the west, and we don't have to give an accounting to God when we stand before him of our many sins. It's been washed in the blood of Christ.
Oh, that's so true. That's beautiful, Larry. And so, you know, that's the name of our show, being free on the inside.
Yes, and as you know and I know, there are a lot of people walking around free on the outside but incarcerated on the inside. And, the incarceration on the inside is what Jesus says, I came to set people free from, and not just physical liberation but spiritual, internal liberation by the new birth through the Holy Spirit.
That is so true. That is so true. You know, I use the example to our young men. It's just like the show that used to come on many years ago called The Lifestyle of the Rich and Famous. These people, a lot of them had money, but they actually were held captured by those things. And that's what sin does. We may seem to have joy out of it for a short time, but it captures us. And like Samson, it blinds us, and then it grinds us. And, you know, then all the joy is gone, you know. And you say, what have I got myself into? I can't get out of it. But Jesus comes to set us free from those things.
Amen, bro. That's the freedom that we're pronouncing and announcing. And it sometimes it takes a man or woman to be sit down and be made quiet and made still and be in a situation where they can't be running around doing what they want to do to listen to the voice of God. And so God has those men and women there for a purpose, his purpose. And as we said earlier, some are going to listen because God's opened up their ears to hear, and they're going to come to him and be saved.
Amen. That is so true. Now, Russ, I was making a little note here. How many different countries have you been able to go to?
The one that I've gone to that I'm going to recall now, quite a few trips to Russia in the early years, Philippines, quite a few trips to the Philippines, and I want to make a statement about that in a second. Haiti, Cuba, Dominican Republic, Libya, most recently Libya, where they've had a lot of, you might have seen on the news that they killed some people over there yesterday or a few days ago in our embassy there. And I went over to Benghazi when they were having the revolution with Gaddafi and was able to take food and medicine supplies to the front lines of the war and make relationships with some of the Libyans to begin a gospel movement in their country, which has been shut out for about 42 years under the Gaddafi regime. I haven't returned there. There's one of the men that went with us is planning to move over there to Benghazi, Lord willing. Going back to the Philippines, I'd like your audience to lift up a prayer, a regular prayer, because what was done in the Philippines freely without any problem with the government or anybody else is to go into the high schools and elementary schools over there, freely share the gospel, freely distribute Bibles, and talk freely about Jesus Christ and his saving power. And I've been praying a prayer for over five years now that God would allow me and others to do the same here in Texas and in our country, all the states. And I've recently made an inquiry to the school district of Garland, outside of where I graduated from, that we might go in and do this with inmates, ex-inmates who've been liberated and are now out and have a good testimony, to come in and share that with the school kids. And I just need prayer because we know this is a very in our day and time, difficult thing to do, to allow somebody to openly speak about Jesus Christ in schools. We can do this freely in prisons, but not in schools. So I just ask those who believe and those who see the need for our youth to be reached with the gospel, to be praying with me that God will again open the door into the school systems of our country and redeem these kids before they get to be adults.
Amen. Yes, sir. We will keep that in our daily prayer. Now, Russell, as we was talking about ministry, I see you've done quite a bit of foreign ministry. What is the most challenging thing about taking on that? Because sometimes we've been challenged at home. What is your comfort level as you go to these various places? Because some people are difficult just going here in the United States as a prison, and here you are going overseas.
Yeah. I believe God calls people to various jobs and tasks based on the gifts he gives them in the Holy Spirit. And I've never been one to be afraid of travel and different situations and different cultures, and I've had to learn Spanish going to Cuba so many years, since 97. But it just, you have to have kind of a willingness to take a risk and go outside your comfort zone and see God work and use you in spite of all that. As Jesus said, a man is without honor except in his own town and his own country. So oftentimes God will take strangers like myself, foreigner like myself, to another country, and people will listen to a foreigner, but they won't listen to their own people. So that's the way I've seen God use me in these different foreign countries that he sent me to.
Oh, that is so true, Russell. That is so true. That God bless you. I'm glad God is using you mightily in the ministry, along with your wife and other people that you're associated with. Because as I share people about the good news of Jesus Christ, I'm involved in ministry. I tell them I'm not alone. There's other people involved in it too.
Amen.
You know, it's because you see me and hear me, and don't be
there,
by myself.
Amen. There's a big family that God is gathering. And one day the Bible says we will be have a wedding feast to celebrate our union, our wedding with him in the heavenlies. And I'm excited about that day when we all shout hallelujah together in one voice, because
amen,
the day has finally
amen.
Arrived when we will be united with our King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and our Creator God who put all this in place and made all this possible. And that's the day I'm looking forward to, when the Bible says in the twinkling of an eye we'll be raised up and glorified with him in new body.
Amen. That's going to be a great day. And I recall, as we was talking about the prophet, they kind of got into a little pity party and said, I'm left here all alone. And God told us, wait a minute, I got 300 more people that ain't done it. So, you know, as we go out, Russell, you, me, and the other people going to mission, we have to know that we're never alone. God's out there leading us and saying, but he also sent people there with us. You know, he sent people that even when you go to a situation, you find people just like you. I can say it safely that as you go to these various countries, you find people that are sold out for the gospel. So it encouraged you. Of people that
Amen.
Are hungry for
Amen.
The gospel.
Amen.
So it encouraged you to say, man, this is a great, you know, harvest field here. You know,
Amen.
So keep
and
it
it's
up.
It's wonderful to meet our brothers and sisters from foreign lands, different countries. You share the same, maybe not the same language or culture, but we do have a kindred spirit in the Holy Spirit, and that you feel the love of God within these people, they for you and you for them. And you know that transcends everything. That transcends culture, language, the different things that are divide nations. That just transcends all that. And so that's really what it's all about, is God in us, the love of God, who God is love. And that love is powerful, powerful, powerful.
Oh, that's so true. Russell, we're going to pause here just for a station break, and we'll be right back with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Good morning. My name is Gray Bunn, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside with my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Oh, what a great interview we're having here with Russell Coffin from God at Work Ministry. He has an international ministry, and also his ministry geared here for us here in the States here. We was talking to Russell about how the gospel is affected. Regardless of where you go, the gospel works. It works if you work it. And we want to thank Russell for spending time with us and sharing with us about the good news our Lord has said, and how there's a need. There's a great need for the gospel in any language. You know, men and women are seeking to be saved. Now, as we talking with Russell here, we're going to shift gears for a minute, talk about his ministry here at home. Russell.
Yes.
Now, tell us about the ministry that you're involved in. Excuse me?
Okay, yes. 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, my job is to go to a different prison where I have various groups in faith-based dorms and in some cases, such as the B2 unit out of Tennessee Colony, men come to me from their wings who have permission, and we have a fellowship. I don't call it a class. We have a fellowship around Jesus Christ and his word, and I expound the word, teach the word, make disciples of these men. And it's a regular thing. So I'm developing relationships with these people in prison over time, you know, depending on how long they're there and if they're in the same prison. And so in one case, I've got men I've been together with for 9 or 10 years out of Beto. They've been coming regularly to my fellowship in the chapel there at Beto Unit, which is a maximum security prison. And others go into faith-based dorms such as Hutchins State Jail and Dawson State Jail and minister to the men who have been called into those faith-based dorms. As well, my wife and I on Tuesday afternoon, we go to Dawson, has a new faith-based dorm started for women over there, TDC Women, and we do the same with them. And that's refreshing because I've always, these many years, I've never really ministered to women in jail, but with my wife there at my side, we're doing that together, and that's a blessing to do that together. And typically these dorms, it's just a new phenomenon in the state prisons here in Texas, is to be allowed to have faith-based, Christ-centered, Bible-centered dorms like that, where 54 people live in one group who really who desire to seek God and to have volunteers come in and share the word of God, the love of God, and many people read through these faith-based dorms, and there are certain rules different from general population. When you agree to be in a dorm, you agree to participate, you agree to limit the TV use, you agree to restrict yourself in many ways that the other people don't have to, but for the purpose of growing in Christ. And oftentimes we do have to administer some correction and remove some men and women who won't abide by the rules, but that's what they've signed up to do. And that's part of God's love, too, because God chastens those whom he loves.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. So that's what I do. God has raised up a body of believers over the years, because I've been doing this full-time since 99. People who believe what we're doing and what God is doing, and they send their support to us through Dallas Leadership Foundation now. God at Work Ministries, and that's how we live, brother. God has provided us through those means. That is my job. I don't have another job. But God has faithfully been to support us, pay our bills, put gas in the car, tires on the car, and pay the electricity bill and the food bill, and we're going to keep on keeping on as long as God says so.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Gosh, you know, right now, Russell, as people are struggling with jobs and means of making, you know, just surviving, it's good to know that works for God, you know. I would say that we works for God, because when these other jobs, they fade away and they tell that you are no longer valuable, God can still use you. And I like that, you know, because seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things will be added. Russell, I think you're on the right path here, brother. I think you're on the right path.
No, I'm on the right path, brother, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can know or come unless he comes. Is a type of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's so true. Now,
in
Russell,
me, and I'll remain in you.
Yes, yes, that's so true. I know that you're over at Hutchinson in the faith-based dorm, and they have over in that faith-based dorm, they have an aftercare program that's involved for the ministry for the inmates. Are you involved in anything now? Aftercare, after get out.
specifically Steve, who's the head of that, who I'm associated with the Dallas Leadership Foundation. James has, there's a house that they've purchased, maybe 15 men. And they have ongoing Bible these programs and services for the people who used to come to that house. It's only a halfway house. And until they get their feet on the ground, until they get established with a job, this is a way to transition. We call it more of a transitional housing. And this is just a step into the back into their own complete independence from, you know, being dependent on anybody. But that's what James is leading up. And it's a struggle at times to keep that going. But God has raised that up for our ministry.
Oh, that is a blessing. And we realize that we've been involved in the jail and prison ministry. That's a challenge once the young men get out to kind of get their ID and just get back into the flow of things without being drawn back into that negative lifestyle. So my hat goes off to you and James and that ministry there for seeing the need and trying to fulfill that need for the young men. So we, you know, well, it breaks our heart. It breaks my heart to see the young men that got out, and 3 months later they're right back again. You know,
yeah, I see that as, and I warn the men and women who I minister to. I said, look, the big war, the big battle is outside these prison walls, where you're free to do whatever you want to do, and the devil himself knows that, and he's going to lay traps for you, as he's laid for me. And so you've got to get ready for this intense warfare that's going to be stepped up as soon as you walk out of the prison. And so I'm always telling them, I'm always reminding them, you know, this is get yourself ready, because the war is right there on the outside of those prison walls. And take this time while you're incarcerated to get built up and strengthened and rooted and grounded in God's word. And you walk and know that you're going to be assaulted by the enemy as soon as you walk out to prison.
And that is, it's so true. I share with the young men as I go down to the jail and prison, hey, the same God you seeking in here is the one that's able to keep you out there. You know, they flock to Bible study and they want to have prayer meetings, but hey, the same God that you pray to in here is the one that's able to keep you out there. And they have to know that without a shadow of doubt. And Russell, man, it's a blessing to be able to talk to you. I know that you're so busy, but thank you for spending this here time with us this morning and sharing with our listening audience the great need of being involved in ministries like this, because it makes a difference.
Amen. And God's called us to remember those who are in prison, his children who are locked up. And so this is not something we have to wonder we should do. It's God's told us clearly in his word to remember those who are incarcerated. And as himself, he was incarcerated. He has his followers incarcerated not only here in the States but all over the world, oftentimes just for being a believer. And we're seeing more and more of that in these different foreign countries where there's an intense persecution on those who name the name of Jesus Christ and are living that life. People, the spirit of the Antichrist is intensely angry with anybody who is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that is so true. That is so true. Now, Russell, we're getting ready to wind down this program. We want to thank you, brother. It's been a great interview. But, Russell, could you give us words of encouragement for someone to say, hey, I want to be involved in ministry like this, but I don't have what it takes? And I like your testimony. You say, hey, I've never been to jail, but yet God had called me to a ministry like this.
I would say there are many opportunities. Various churches, the Bill Glass Prison Ministry is how I first kind of got going. They have Weekends of Champions. You can sign up with them and get a little bit of training. But there's so many, if you really want to go behind the bars and get prepared, there's so many opportunities. The main thing that holds back people is just their willingness and availability. So If you put yourself out there and make yourself available to God, God, I promise you, will use you. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to go to Bible college or seminary. Just be willing. And as a man that is kind of a mentor to me, said 90% of it is availability, and the other 10% is in spite of ourselves, that God would use us.
I like that. I like that. Because, you know, one of the biggest drawbacks is people feel like they don't have enough knowledge of the Bible to share with it. But based on your experience and your relationship with God, that's more than enough.
That's all you need. It's God to be on your side. You don't need anybody else.
You know, and God told some of the apostles said, hey, don't worry about what you're saying when you go draw before men and women, when you go to these various places. Don't worry about what you're going to say. You know,
that's
and
right.
That's something that we're gonna study how we prepare ourselves. But, you know, Russell, sometimes we can study and we can have a lesson plan going on, but when we get in there, it totally changes sometimes.
Exactly. Really, this is about God doing what he wants to do, and he's just using us as his vessel. And sometimes we get in his way by trying to do what we want to do instead of listening to what God really wants to do. And so availability to the Holy Spirit, I think, is the key to any ministry. It's just to let God's Spirit guide, lead, and speak as he wishes, and ask him to get us out of the way so he can do what he wants to do.
Amen, amen. Russell, with your ministry, God at Work Ministry, do you have a website or contact number in case someone wants to help? I like what Russell's doing. I like to get involved with that.
Yeah. In fact, and I haven't really even published it yet. There's a little more fine-tuning with it, but it'll be shortly online, and it's called God at Work Ministries. I think it's rustycoffee.org. I believe it's rustycoffee.org, God at Work Ministries in Dallas, Texas. So, as I said, I haven't quite published it because it's not quite tweaked to get the right information on it, but a man helped me get a web page like that. It's got, so anyway, give it a week or two, and it'll be up online, God at Work Ministries, okay?
Okay, then give us the spelling of that Rusty Coffee here.
Yeah, R-U-S-T-Y, C-O-F-F-E-E, coffee like you drink.
C-O-F-F-E-E. Okay,
yes,
and R-U-S-T-Y?
Uh-huh.
All right, that sounds great. Then, Russell, we pray that things go well with you in the ministry, which we know it will, but you keep doing what you're doing, brother. It makes a difference. And me and your ministry, we involved in some of the same things, so we pray that our paths cross. You know, I never met you, but I heard great things about you and your ministry, and I was overjoyed when you accepted the invitation to come on to the program because, brother, there's a need for it, and our show is geared up towards trying to encourage people in the ministry to continue to do what they're doing, and also to be involved in ministry, being free on the inside. A lot of times we've been held hostage, and once we've been set free, we're able to encourage other people. Jesus told Peter, said, Peter, the enemies ask permission to sift you, but when you are restored, you are the strength of your brothers. And that's the call that we all have had. You know, yeah, I'm going to get out of this crazy lifestyle, but I'm going to also help you and encourage you to get out of it too.
Amen. Well, thank you for having me. And any time that God opens the door like this or any other to share the good news, I'm always willing, trying to be willing to do so.
Well, great. God bless
you.
This program, this program is on our internet site here, and it's archived, so you can go to it and listen to it anytime it's at your convenience. And you can also share it with your family and friends, okay?
Okay, brother. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Great.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. What a great interview that we had with Mr. Coffee here as he was talking about the goodness of God. As we get ready to wind down, we want to thank our listening audience for being a part of the show. We want to thank our two guests, Michael, for growing a young man the right way, and for Russell Coffee of God at Work Ministry. Now, that's two great ministries. They're making a difference in the lives of the ones that they encountered. And as we get ready to depart, we'd like to say a word of prayer. Thank you Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for this day. Dear Lord, we thank you for the guest that was on this morning. We pray, dear Lord, that that what they said makes a difference in the life of the listeners, dear Lord, how they able to challenge men and women to share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone, dear Lord, how they able to encourage us to do the right thing, how they able to encourage us to be involved in the life of a young man or woman. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.